now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard. Today, our very special guest is Janice Barcello, and Janice really needs no introduction. She's a pioneer in the field, one of the people at the spear point, getting the important information out there to families and to people about the health industry and what it's really all about. So we're going to have all of Janice's bio information. She's been a guest on our show in the past. We'll have all that information on our website and our dedicated YouTube channel. So without any further ado, Janice, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thanks, James. Happy to be here. Glad to be able to share this information. So thanks for the opportunity.
It's always our pleasure, Janice. You've recently been ostracized, banned, call it what you want, on Facebook, and all this other disruption and interference has occurred as a result of this new work of yours. Do you want to tell us about that as a lead-in to tell us about your new work?
Well, I am currently writing a book on the dark side of prenatal ultrasound. And I have jumped into a rabbit hole here. It's been 4 years of intense research in the writing of this book, and am absolutely horrified at what I'm finding. And as I go through the process of writing the book, from time to time, I will post things on Facebook about what prenatal ultrasound is doing to the children. I have had 3 Facebook accounts deleted. The first 2 were deleted within 48 hours after I posted something on somebody's thread. Okay, somebody had written a thread. I can't remember exactly what it was because this was a couple of months ago. But I posted some information from my book about what ultrasound was doing. And 48 hours later, 2 accounts were completely gone in the name of Janice Barcello, my name. I had a 3rd account in the name of Janice Louise. Louise is my middle name. That account was not taken out on the first round. But about 2 months later, there was another thread going on in a home birth group where a mother was sincerely asking what might have caused her baby's low birth weight. And I said, prenatal ultrasound is causing intrauterine growth retardation and low birth weight. And I posted a number of links, a number of studies, so that people could go and look at these studies for themselves. Within 24 hours, the entire thread was deleted. Okay? The next day, there's 2 more people in the group talking about their diagnosis of IUGR, which is intrauterine growth restriction or growth retardation. So now I feel an urgency to create my own post on that Facebook, in that Facebook group, which was home birth, assisted and unassisted. Beware, people of this group, okay? So I make my own thread. I posted at least 8 or 10 links to the topic of intrauterine growth retardation studies that people can look at so that they know for themselves this is not me pulling stuff out of the air. These are studies. This is causing growth restriction and retardation in children. Well, first they blocked people after hundreds of people responded, of course, with great concern. As soon as the administrators got wind of the fact that this was happening, first, they stopped people's comments, okay? Then they deleted the post. Then they deleted me from the group. And then, 24 hours later, my Facebook page was deleted. No warning, nothing, completely gone. So it's clear to me, because I post a lot of radical information, and I've been doing that for a number of years, this ultrasound topic is something that's very, very touchy. It's one of their major weapons against us. And they really want to silence this information, or at least silence me, because I'm the only one that seems to have gone this deep into this topic. I have more than 1,000 citations in my book at this time, and it's not done yet. So when they say to us, there's no studies, this is complete and utter rubbish. And they have had the knowledge for 100 years of how dangerous this technology is and what it can do to us and what it is doing to us. So I am convinced that it's the driving force behind autism. That's not to say that vaccines are not a problem as well, because they clearly are, but ultrasound is causing the initial brain damage for autism. And it, when the vaccines come in, of course, it's throwing the children over the edge. And something people should know is that ultrasound opens up the blood-brain barrier. So when they expose a pregnant mother to ultrasound and then inject her with a vaccine, which they're doing now.
28 weeks, the whooping cough vaccine.
And the flu shot. They're being encouraged to get the DTaP. Diphtheria, tetanus, okay, and the flu shot. That's what's happening here. But the blood-brain barrier of the baby will be open because of the ultrasound. It depends on the timing, of course, because the blood-brain barrier seeks to recover from the assault, of course. But we don't know the extent of the damage that's happened to those cells and whether perforations have happened in the blood-brain barrier through which those toxins can pass through. And I'm convinced that there are perforations that these toxins are passing through. That barrier is supposed to protect the brain from the toxins, but they're deliberately trying to undermine that protective mechanism. And they've used ultrasound to deliberately, you know, cause lesions in the brains, targeting specific areas of the brain, targeting specific areas of the nervous system. They say they're doing it, you know, to help people who have neurological problems like Parkinson's or to go in there and kill cancer tumors. But if they're using ultrasound to blast apart tumors, what do we suppose is happening to the cells of our developing children? This is a major wake-up call, folks, because this technology is radiation, okay? It's what they call non-ionizing radiation. But when you look at cell phones, microwave ovens, Wi-Fi routers, smart meters, all of these things, baby monitors, off the charts with the frequencies, the radiation emitting frequencies. Okay, all of these things are quote unquote non-ionizing radiation. And all of these things have very damaging effects on biological cells and organs and our proper functioning, right? People are developing debilitating diseases from exposure to these technologies. And ultrasound is a part of this arsenal. This is a weaponized technology. It has been from its inception. Okay, ultrasound was created and immediately put to use for the military, right? It was a nuclear, used to detect submarines at first, okay? So it's been used by the Navy, and it was created, of course, around the same time as the first microwave oven, as the atomic bomb. All of these technologies are interrelated forms of alien weaponry. Okay, we're dealing with a group of entities that are not part of this. They're not part of our organic system. They are here in an attempt to take it over, okay, and to destroy us, basically, to destroy all of the original inhabitants, including all the life forms, animals, plants, you know, hurting the water, hurting the soil. This is a weaponized grid. Ultrasound is a part of that grid. The medical system, it's a Luciferian cult. Okay, folks, we got to get who's behind this, that prenatal care is typically anything but care. It is an attack on the incoming children. And what they're doing during this period of time has very significant consequences for our children.
What I've heard from people who've had the ultrasound done to their developing babies in the womb is, and oftentimes it's described with a sense of wonder, oh, you know, when the ultrasound technician aimed the ultrasound at my baby's head, he covered his face. It was like he was saying hi. And I'm thinking, no, it's like he's blocking something because he's getting zapped, right? And then they'll say things like, oh, and you know, our little baby, when they aim the ultrasound at it, it started spinning around and doing cartwheels. It was so happy. And it was like, and I'm thinking, no, it's reacting negatively to the ultrasound onslaught. Now, talk about this, Janice, because there's a term that's utilized in the medical field and people that are in and out of the medical field about the cascading effect, where the moment people are plugged in, and especially their children are plugged in to the system, just all these steps are laid out. Like, for example, in the prenatal care, they tell the new parents, you've got to be here for this test, you got to test for this, you got to test for, you know, pre-baby diabetes or whatever the term is. Did you want to comment on that?
Well, all of the testing, of course, can be incredibly harmful. Every aspect of this, I've already talked briefly about the ultrasound and the vaccines, but even when they test for quote-unquote gestational diabetes, all right, one of the most important obstetricians that I know of, his name is Michel Odont, yes, a very well-known French obstetrician. He calls gestational diabetes a diagnosis in search of a disease. Okay, so what he's saying is that there really isn't anything real about gestational diabetes. The mother's body will produce larger amounts of insulin because the baby needs this in order to grow. All right, but they're going to sound an alarm when her body starts producing this and say, we have to, you know, rush you to an induction. This is all designed to get people more deeply invested in their interference. All of this prenatal care is designed to push people toward induction. All the ultrasounds, as well as fetal heart monitors, which, by the way, are also using ultrasound. Fetal heart monitoring and ultrasound scans have zero benefits. Zero. They improve fetal outcome for a total of zero benefit. And I have this extremely well documented with study after study after study after study. These things have no benefit for the mother or the baby. They do not improve fetal outcome. On the contrary, they increase the chances that the baby will be C-sectioned, that the baby will be induced, that the baby will end up in a neonatal intensive care unit. Okay. Even if the baby is diagnosed with something that is real, and of course, a lot of this is false positives, a huge amount, okay? If it's real, there's nothing they can do. And so the only thing the parents really can do is choose to kill their baby, which contributes to the satanic system, because then we're engaging in human sacrifice based on an ultrasound diagnosis that's completely false. So as you were saying, babies respond to this technology in very negative ways. They are desperately trying to get away from the technology, to block the technology. All of the movement should be an indication to any woman that is in touch with herself, her body, and her baby would instantly know, my baby is in trauma right now, and this technology is hurting my baby. But the fact remains that people are so disconnected from their pregnancies, from their babies, from their own bodies, that they're not getting what their children are experiencing. They really are. It's like they themselves have become so robotic that they're not human anymore either, the parents. And they cannot connect with what's happening to their children on an emotional level, on a mental level, on a physical level, certainly not on a spiritual level. These people are completely, should not be having children. And if they keep going to the medical system, they won't be having any more children. And I think that this is a very good thing, because ultrasound also causes infertility. And any woman that would see her baby flipping around or trying to cover themselves to get away from this and says how cute, she deserves not to have any more kids. Okay, this is not a healthy person to be having children, because they're really putting their children in danger, and they're too dense to get that their child is in danger. They're endangering their children's lives, and they think it's cute.
And it's an interesting...
Sorry to be so harsh.
Oh, no, please, let it rip, because people need to hear this. This is systemic, it's institutionalized, it's the way their system is meant to be.
We have a culture of trauma, you know, of traumatizing the kids, sacrificing the kids.
They come up with excuse after excuse. Well, you know, we have to find out the position of the placenta, you know, because anterior, posterior, yada, yada, yada. Oh, well, we checked that out. Now the baby doesn't seem to be growing as fast because, you know, according to this guidebook we've got, it's, you know, not in that 50 percentile, whatever. We need to do another. So again and again and again, there's always an excuse for more ultrasounds. And tell us, Janice, from a very cell level, what the ultrasounds do to the developing baby. I call them developing babies. I don't use their term, fetus, an agglomeration of cells, right? This is a baby we're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah, because we don't want to objectify the developing baby and turn it into a fetus, because a fetus means that it's something other than a developing baby. It is a baby. It is a baby from conception on. You know, for me to go into what the technology is doing is very complex, because there are so many things that this technology is doing. So we may cover certain aspects of this on the show, but The book is very in-depth. We do know that it's causing intrauterine growth retardation. I have no doubt about this at this point, and I have many, many studies to back that up. When they say we need it to locate the placenta, the truth is the placenta is going to be moving during the pregnancy. So let's say you have a placenta that's in the wrong location according to their technology. It means nothing at 20 weeks. It means nothing at 30 weeks, okay? It means nothing at 35 weeks. It's going to start to mean something when you get close to 40 weeks, okay? But chances are, if you're not bleeding, all right, showing signs that the placenta is covering the cervix, if you're not bleeding, there's no problem. You do not need this technology to discover where your placenta is. Studies are showing that a skilled midwife can palpate the belly and have a more effective understanding of the baby's size than an ultrasound can. In other words, a midwife is more skilled than their technology. This will always be the case. Okay, their technologies are defective and deficient on every level and extremely harmful. There is nothing that they're going to provide you with from this technology that's going to help you. Nothing. Not a single thing. That's number one. Number two, in addition to things like intrauterine growth retardation, ultrasound zaps DNA. Okay, it destroys the genetic material in DNA. That should give us pause. I read a comment by one scientist, a Russian scientist, who said he put a DNA molecule in an aqueous solution and exposed the solution to ultrasound. Now, he said, normally, when you put a DNA molecule in the aqueous solution, it creates a melody. It creates sounds that are a recurring melody. When you zap that molecule with ultrasound, it creates one monotonous tone. And his understanding is that there's a tremendous amount of genetic information that's been erased from that DNA molecule. There are other studies, of course, where this is the dark side of medicine. They're deliberately using ultrasound to deactivate the genetic material in, let's say, a cancer cell. Okay? So they know that it's deactivating DNA. They know that it is damaging mitochondria, that it is damaging chromosomes, and it's causing chromosomal aberrations, chromosome breaks. Okay, they know all of this. And keep in mind, I am not a molecular biologist. So for me to try to understand these studies, of which I have piles and piles of studies here now, to try to make sense of all this has been incredibly difficult, because I don't have skill as a scientist or molecular cellular biologist. So even trying to make sense of the language and researching what each of these things means has been a huge task, a huge undertaking. And also to understand the distinction between man-made radiation and natural radiation, that like that which is coming from our sun, because the radiation industry will always try to convolute the two and act as if they are one and the same. They are not. Okay, natural radiation is coming from a force of love. It is tremendously regenerative and healing for us to be in the sun or to be walking on soil that is emitting radon. Okay, these types of radiation are beneficial for us. Things like radon, which occurs naturally in rocks and soil, these things become a problem when they build up in technological structures that are blocking the natural flow of energy. Okay, that's the only time they become a problem. In the natural setting, this is beneficial. People go to radon spas all over Europe. They go to places on the earth that are high in radon to receive healing in a natural environment, because natural radiation is beneficial. It is regenerative and good for us. Okay, the sun is good for us. It is healing. It is essential for life, but they will try to trick people and say the sun is bad for you. Radiation is bad for you. The reason they're doing this, and I've taken a lot of time in my book also to explain how they're doing this, the manipulation that's going on. The reason they're convoluting the two is because they're trying to cover up the fact that it's man-made radiation that's causing all the problems. It's really only since the introduction of man-made radiation in the 1930s, 40s, yes, maybe a little earlier, that mankind has been deteriorating so quickly. Okay, prior to this time, we existed perfectly fine with all the radiation that was around us in the natural world. All life forms were perfectly fine until man-made radiation showed up on the scene. Okay, and that's because these two things are diametrically opposed forces, all right? Whereas natural radiation is coming from a source that is good, that is loving, that is cooperative, that is, you know, creates a system of interdependence that's beneficial, that is regenerative, that is life-giving, okay? Natural radiation is one thing. Artificial radiation, man-made radiation, is coming from those who seek to destroy life. All right, they create this stuff basically through the destruction of atoms, through the destruction of the basic building blocks of manifest reality. They send, you know, they blast the atoms through atom smashing machines, you know, blast them and smash them up against metal targets. They do all kinds of violent things to get the atoms to become disassembled, basically, so that all the electrons move out of their orbits. Well, sometimes they're blown out of the atoms entirely. Sometimes the nucleus of the atom is blown up. This is called atomic radiation. They're destroying the basic building blocks of creation. And this is how they produce man-made radiation, right? And how they produce ultrasound is through electroshock torture of crystals, right? Now, remember, crystals are living beings. Crystals grow over many millennia. They grow on a different time scale than we do, all right? But they have a very precise, magnificent order that they grow in, right? They replicate themselves in a very beautiful order over many millennia, and they carry massive amounts of information about the history of our planet. And when you put these diametrically opposed electrical forces, right? You charge the crystals with these diametrically opposed electrical forces to shock the crystal, basically. And the crystal responds by morphing and how do I explain this? It's like they expand and contract and expand and contract at the rate of millions of times per second. All right, electrons, of course, in the atoms that are in the crystals are blown out of their orbits. These disassembled atoms try desperately to put themselves back together after they've been attacked this way. And it's in the frantic efforting of trying to restore themselves to their natural state that they emit what's called man-made radiation. And this is harnessed, this electrical output that's generated through the electroshock torture of crystals is generated for ultrasound. And I read that when the crystals are expanding and contracting, they're pushing and pulling the air around them. And this is what generates the acoustic effect, acoustic radiation. Is what they call it. But we have to understand that humans, all animals, we have a crystalline structure. Our bones are crystalline. We have crystals in our ears. We have crystals in our pineal gland, okay? When our bodies come in contact with other crystals, we begin to resonate with the crystals that we come in contact with. So when they come at us with this transducer, this ultrasound transducer, inside of which crystals are being electroshock tortured and morphing and deforming at the rate of millions of times per second. Okay, what's happening to the bones of our developing babies? What's happening to the ears where there's crystals inside the ears? What's happening to the pineal gland? All right, it is also beginning to go like this, and to, you know, this is a very intense molecular attack on us. Okay, and this is why we have very high levels of hearing loss that have begun at the precise time that they started mainstreaming ultrasound during pregnancy, right? All these kids starting being born with hearing loss. We have an increasing incidence of leukemia. Well, look what you're doing to the bones, people. Okay, look what we're doing to the bones and the bone marrow of our children through this technology. Of course we're going to see this kind of stuff. The insidious thing about radiation, too, is it heats things up.
Yes.
Okay, it causes burning of the bones, literally. You can ask people that have gone for ultrasound therapy. Okay, they call this a therapeutic modality because it's a deep heating modality. It burns, baby. It burns the cells. Okay, and it's burning what's called the peristeum. I don't know if I said that word right, but it's like the covering of the bone. And people are having extremely bad experiences with ultrasound therapy because it's burning their bones.
Imagine,
and they're talking about this online.
Baby. Yeah.
What about the developing baby? Yeah. Exactly. Are we so freaking stupid and in denial that we are going to say, well, we have no proof?
That's another thing,
really?
Is that in true narcissistic gaslighting fashion, they strive to pull us into their insanity. Because in their insane Luciferian world, there is no such thing as cause and effect, right? So they hammer a baby with ultrasound. They hammer the baby out of the womb with vaccines.
Yeah.
Nothing to
yeah.
do with anything they've done, right?
Yeah.
We're the whack jobs for noticing that there's a difference of before and after. With them, there's no before and after. What they're doing in true narcissistic gaslighting fashion, they're bringing us into their insanity. Here's another thing that I've talked to people about. And again, often as not, these people seem to be oblivious of this pattern we're seeing. Nowadays, expectant mothers are told, don't tell anybody that you're expecting until at least after 12 weeks, because we have to make sure the fetus is viable, right? So automatically they're implanting into that expectant mother's head, pitfalls, dangers, impending doom, you know what I mean?
And it gives them a chance to kill the developing baby. I mean, really, the reverse is true. If you think you're pregnant, stay away from them for as long as you possibly can. If you can avoid them totally during pregnancy, you'd be way better off. But very few people would have the courage to take responsibility for their own pregnancies. They won't do it. They'll hand their bodies over and their babies to these demons. This is a demonic force that we're dealing with. There's no question about this, before they're willing to take responsibility for what happens to them and their babies during pregnancy. So, of course, it also causes miscarriage, fetal demise. There's a lot going on here, perinatal death. There's a lot of going on here. And when you look, there's three different sections where I've got graphs where you could see the autism rate starts escalating immediately starting around 1975 when ultrasound was mainstreamed, number one. The same thing with hearing loss in very young children. Okay, the same thing with infertility, with male infertility. It starts around 1975 that the sperm rate starts dropping. And now we're down 60%, right? Men today in the Western world have 60% less sperm than they did in 1975. This is because ultrasound stops sperm production. Now, they know this. They've known this since at least 1955, because I have a study from 1955 that clearly demonstrates ultrasound stops sperm production. It alters the structural integrity of the female and the male, the genitals. It creates premature ovulation amongst many, many other reproductive threats. All right. They're using ultrasound today as a form of male contraception. So if you expose the adult male scrotum to 2 15-minute blasts of ultrasound, that man will be infertile for a minimum of 6 months. And it's looking like that infertility can be permanent. So what do we suppose is happening to the developing testes of a baby in the womb when they direct that beam at the baby's genitals to discover the sex? See, this is the insidious nature of the technology, because as with any form of radiation exposure, the damage may not show up for 5, 10, 20 years. In the case of infertility, people won't recognize the infertility until they're teenagers or 20 and above, right? When they when they want to have children. They won't know that that infertility began when they were in the womb as a result of ultrasound exposure. It won't show up. And this is how they can hide the damage that they're causing. Here's another insidious thing. Okay, I mentioned that it burns, okay? It heats things. Extreme heating is happening. When you put an egg in an aqueous solution and you expose that aqueous solution to ultrasound, it cooks the egg. It cooks the internal contents of the egg without doing any damage to the shell. Just think about that for a minute, because they also have technologies, ultrasonic weapons, that they are using for purposes of inflicting damage on specific areas of the nervous system and the brain, okay, without causing any sign that anything's been done on the skin. You cannot see that the beam has gone through the skin because there's no damage. The damage is inside. Okay?
There's weapons now that are used by law enforcement and the military that induce a sensation of extreme heat on people's body, but it doesn't cause any outward damage.
But it is causing internal damage.
Internal damage, big time.
It's heating the blood, that's number one. It's heating the liquids. It's heating the bones. It's heating the organs. Okay, it's heating every aspect of a developing baby. And pregnant women are told to avoid getting in hot tubs, right? Avoid taking extra hot baths, because heating can cause extreme neurological damage, birth defects, all kinds of issues. Why are women not being warned about the heating effects of ultrasound? What's up with that?
It's insane. Like, for example, it's being bruited about by the media nowadays that parents who don't lather petroleum-based sunscreen on their children at the beach are guilty of child abuse, right? That's this nanny state coming down in full manifestation. What you talked about also, Janice, about how this all leads up to the induction process. So many parents these days, especially ones that have a little more coin than others, they think they're being clever. Well, we'll go to a private hospital and, you know, we'll have our own OBGYN, et cetera, et cetera. Most of them never even heard of midwives. And so they go into a system, and the public system is very similar anyway, the cascading system. But basically, everything is geared up for induction, ultimately cesarean, or if they don't get opened up, then the child is pulled out with forceps and it just degenerates from there. Because everything they do militates against the baby being born naturally. And then, yep, because they got unplugged into the system, everything is geared up towards, it almost sounds, a lot of people know me as an alien abduction researcher. When I look, Janice, at the modern way of child rearing, the whole thing sounds to me like a drug haze-induced alien abduction. Doctor there with a mask, they've got... When you watch 16 and Pregnant, you know, they got the girl, her feet up in the stirrups. Everything is completely unnatural about it. Instead of like using gravity to let the baby come out naturally, like in, you know, on the knees position or in a water birthing pool, they're on their back trying to hatch this baby out with people screaming, push, push, push. And everything is in a drug haze situation. They give them an hour of that. If the baby doesn't come out by then, here come the doctors, and it just unravels from there. The surgeons, I mean, because they're going to open the lady up.
Well, that's what an OB is. You know, an OB is a trained surgeon. They are scissor-happy, knife-happy people. They can't wait to use their instruments to cut off, you know, baby body parts and cut open women's bodies.
And many of them are abortionists, too. Many of them have a sidelight as being abortionists. It's two sides of the same coin, folks.
Yeah, so we have to understand who these people are. The word obstetrician actually comes from the word obstacle. Okay, so these people are presenting obstacles to natural birth, basically. That's what they do. Whether they think that's what they're doing or not is another thing, but that's exactly what they're doing. And it is an alien force that we're dealing with here. And I have the thought that people think they're being abducted by aliens, because the memory when you're a baby coming out into a technological setting with the lights, okay, with these people wearing these weird glasses, right? Sometimes they got these things coming out the glasses, like magnifying things, and the hats and the gowns, and all you see looks alien, and it is alien. It's completely not human. Any of this stuff is completely anathema to what evolution has prepared us to experience. It's just, you don't birth babies in an environment, number one, where people are dying, people are deathly sick, there's illnesses and viruses all in the air, and it's just the most traumatic environment possible. And here comes this baby, it's freezing, bright lights, instruments all around that are used to cut open women's bodies and cut off baby body parts, with people dressed in masks and gowns. This is a satanic ritual.
It is.
Completely. And some of these women are strapped to tables. They can't move. Their bodies are being cut into. They're drugged. Their babies are drugged. I mean, this is insanity.
You know what? Also,
we have not seen it.
It's so anti-life. For example, I haven't walked these shoes. I haven't given birth. But in the old days, Janice, they didn't have epidurals, right? Women were expected, right? Nowadays, when women get the 2, 3, 4 centimeters, they're screaming for an epidural. And we're starting to see down the track, one of my best friends, her daughter, asked for an epidural, screaming for it back in the day. Now she has chronic back problems. She's had to see the back specialist over and over again because her back is messed up. Now, why is that, folks? Because she can't feel anything down there. And maybe for a while they're asking her to push and do all these other things. So basically she's going against what her body is telling her to do. And eventually they may open her up anyway. So what was the point of getting the epidural? So what they've done, by telling women, don't tell anyone about the developing fetus until it's at least 12 weeks old. Keep going to all these meetings, keep having all these ultrasounds, et cetera, et cetera. It teaches them failure. It teaches them fear. And so they're prepped. So when the day comes, well, we're just going to call in the obstetrician and we're just going to open you up. By that point, the woman's in a drug-induced haze. She's got an epidural. She doesn't know which way is up, right? And she's just going to go along with it, basically. And that's how the baby comes into the world.
The interesting thing about this, there's many interesting things about this, but the reason women are screaming for the epidural, basically, is because they're given a drug called Pitocin. Or synctocin, depending on where you are in the world. It's a synthetic oxytocin. And they use this drug, at least in America, 85% of the women in this country are receiving this drug to speed up or augment labor or induce labor. And what this drug does is it creates artificial contractions that are extremely intense. I mean, they are unrelenting, nonstop. The uterus is turned into a trash compactor, okay, instead of an organ that's designed to help push the baby out, right? This thing is crushing the baby now because of these artificial contractions. And of course, the mother's going, I can't take this. I can't take this intensity.
Yeah,
not normal.
Two dimensions of those things, the contractions, and then she wants the epidurals to numb out the pain for the contractions.
Yeah. I mean, in a natural birth, the contractions, they begin, they grow, they peak, they ease off, and then the body rests, right? And then they start again, they go up, they peak, they come down, body rests. With Pitocin contractions, there's no such thing as rest. This is just, steamroller, unrelenting, nonstop, unnatural, completely unnatural, like that can cause uterine rupture contractions. So yes, the women are begging for the epidurals. Then the epidural comes in. Now, there's many interesting things about the epidural and also about the Pitocin. I could talk about this for the next hour, just on these two topics, okay? But the epidural is interesting, and so is Pitocin, but it contains fentanyl. Epidural does. And we have an epidemic now of people that are becoming addicted to fentanyl. Okay, we also have an epidemic of people becoming addicted to oxycodone. Oxycodone and Pitocin have a very similar chemical structure. What's happening here is that the babies are being born on these opioid drugs or oxytocin mimickers, which interfere with human love. That's number one. So the baby's going to be born in a drug-induced euphoria. Euphoria is actually a word that's been invented by the medical system because the condition of euphoria is an artificially generated experience that comes through synthetic compounds that the medical system gives to people. So the baby will be born euphoric, but without the experience of human love that it is designed to experience, without the authentic experience of true love and true bonding with their parents. The lack of natural oxytocin at birth as a result of the injection of these drugs into the mother's body will create damage to the baby's oxytocin receptor sites. It will prevent the baby's body and brain from functioning properly in the sense of its ability to produce natural oxytocin.
Well, hold that thought, Janice. We've reached the end of the first segment. We're just getting started. Could you tell our listeners what your website is?
My website is birthofanewearth.com. I have a YouTube channel by the same name, Birth of a New Earth. My book is Birth Trauma and the Dark Side of Modern Medicine. Stay tuned for my second book, which is The Dark Side of Prenatal Ultrasound. But you can read all about this on my website at birthofanewearth.com.
Okay. We've got a lot more to go, folks. We're just getting started. To our dear listeners out there, we'll see you at the top of the next segment. Bye for now.
Because this is a frequency war.